Okay, well, we'll continue on in Bible Answers, and we've been looking at, should a Christian drink alcoholic drinks? So it says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So they come here saying, well, Paul was telling Timothy that he should drink a little alcoholic wine, but we should know that they're interpreting it wrong because it says, drink no longer water. So if Paul was telling Timothy to drink alcoholic wine and telling him to drink no longer water, he would certainly be an alcoholic because all he would be drinking is alcohol. So there's several reasons why Timothy was not being told to drink alcoholic wine. Number one, because Timothy was a leader in the church. Timothy was a leader in the church. And you notice chapter 1 and verse 3. Chapter 1:3 says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So he is a leader in the church and teaching doctrine. He did not want to be under the influence. Then go to chapter 4 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 4:6. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And then if you go down to verse 11, here, these things command and teach. And then in chapter 5 and verse 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So, putting all these things together, Timothy was the leader. He used to be teaching doctrine. And that is something you would not want to be doing under the influence. And then if we go to Proverbs 31:4. The Bible says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So it's telling here that kings should not be drinking wine, lest they pervert judgment of any of the afflicted. So you certainly wouldn't want church leaders then to be drinking alcohol, because it would be the same issue, only worse, more serious, lest they drink and forget the word of God and pervert the judgment in that regard. So we're looking at 1 Timothy 5:23, Brother Joe. And was Timothy being told to drink alcoholic wine? And first of all, no, because Timothy was a leader in the church. Number two, no, Timothy was not being told to drink alcoholic wine because he had frequent stomach trouble of some kind. So let's go to 1 Timothy 5:23. So you would not want to tell someone to drink alcohol if they were having stomach trouble. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 5:23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. So drinking water, why was he told not to drink water? Well, it's kind of like when we were all in Haiti. Brother Wall says, don't drink the regular water, just drink this filtered water. Same in Mexico, when Jeremy and Julie were in Mexico. We did not drink any water from any sources unless it was bottled water. And the reason is because in most every foreign country, there's bacteria in the water that our stomachs can't handle. Now, if you're raised in a situation like that many times, your system can handle that water. But there are a lot of times that those people have amoebas and different things in their system that with us, we could not handle. It would give us dysentery or other stomach bowel problems. So he was bringing this up, drink no longer water. Because obviously Timothy was having trouble, stomach trouble with the water, and the cause was the water. And that's why he said, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, than thine oft infirmity. So it would not be alcohol, it would have been grape juice. So, and you have to remember the wells were shallow in these days, many times, shallow wells. I mean, they let a bucket down to them. Then back up to verse 22, it said, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Now, would that be good advice to tell someone, okay, drink no longer water, but just drink alcoholic wine? And oh, by the way, make sure you keep yourself pure. Under the influence of alcohol? We're going to see here in just a minute in Proverbs 23, but I'll hold. Well, actually, let's go there right now. Proverbs 23:29. Proverbs 23:29. So the people that come to 1 Timothy 5:23 and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol, Paul told Timothy, drink a little wine. Well, he also said, drink no longer water. So we're talking about only wine. So do you want someone to drink alcohol from sun up to sundown? No more water? So Proverbs 23:29, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Well, remember, if you're going to interpret 1 Timothy 5:23 as it's okay to drink alcoholic wine, then you're going to have to say, well, no more water, just wine. But it says here, it's the one that's going to have woe and sorrow is the one that tarries long at the wine. Verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. So are we going to drink blindfolded the rest of our lives? It says if it's fermented, if it's moving, not to drink it. Verse 32, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That's the alcohol in it. And here we go. Remember, he said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. Well, in Proverbs 23:33, it says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. So, telling someone to stay pure and then telling them to drink alcohol, that's a contradiction. Because people that are under the influence are often immoral and often are very vile with their language. It's just the liquor. And remember, he had often stomach infirmities. But look at verse 34. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the top, in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Do any of you have like motion sickness at all? Okay. It's surprising how many people do have car sickness, motion sickness. So if Timothy was a young man that had often infirmities, stomach problems, do you think it'd be good to tell him to drink alcohol? When the Bible says that many people get sick when they drink alcohol, they experience upset stomach, like people from motion sickness. Verse 35, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. Well, that sounds pretty addictive, don't it? So why would you tell anyone, drink no longer water, but drink wine? So that interpretation of 1 Timothy 5:23, that it's okay to drink because Paul told Timothy it was okay to drink, that's not correct. So just to recap here, number one, no, because Timothy was a leader in the church. And even kings were told not to drink, lest they pervert judgment. Then number two, no, because Timothy had frequent stomach trouble of some kind. And number three, no, because Timothy was being warned that all sins, even secret ones, will be brought out at the judgment. So, telling Timothy to drink alcoholic wine would not make any sense at all. Okay. So, then number three, Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20, verse 1. The Bible says that wine makes fools. Proverbs 20, verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So we're not to drink it. You know, I've had many people say over the years, well, that just means you're not to drink too much of it. But where does it say there, whether it's little or much? It just says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So it never says in that verse, drinking too much of it. And you know, it'd be strange to tell someone to start drinking it when the moment you start drinking it, it deceives you. The moment you start drinking it, it begins to intoxicate you. So every sip that someone takes, it's like less and less and less in charge of their thoughts. So that's why it says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So then, back in chapter 23:31, that's why it says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. So when it's fermented, don't even look at it. So how could you be telling someone to drink something and not to look at it? I mean, what if someone said, coffee's all right to drink, but it's a sin to look at it. Or Mountain Dew or Pepsi or whatever. It's a sin to drink, or it's okay to drink, but it's a sin to look at it. That's kind of contradictory, isn't it? So, let's look up Proverbs 8:33. It says here, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. So we're told not to be fools. But Proverbs 21:20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And yet it's telling us here to be wise. And then Ephesians 5:17. The Bible says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want the will of the Lord? Well, it goes on the next verse to say, and be not what? Drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And what does it take to be drunk with wine? What does it take to not be in total control of our thoughts or our reflexes? Well, the moment we start drinking it, we are less in control of our thoughts and of our reflexes. So, how can you tell someone there's a safe amount? What is safe? I mean, Lucas tells me that when it comes to people being intoxicated and they have to pick up people, it used to be that when someone was drunk, the police would take them right to jail. And they would put a lot of guys that are drunk kind of in the same cell. I mean, they're all drunk. A lot of them are sick. And so they just throw them in the same cell all night. But now, please don't do that. They're sent to the hospital whenever a person's drunk. And so ambulances have to deal, you know, with a mess. That's probably one thing. Police officers, I have a nephew that's a Kent County sheriff, and he used to talk about drunks being sick in their back seat, and then the police have to clean out the car, you know, after they get the drunkard to jail. And so that's probably one aspect of it right there. You know, officers didn't want to deal with the mess that a drunkard often makes, as well as, you know, lawsuits and all kinds of things. So, you know, everything now, you know, they say that, you know, the drunkard has a disease. You know, alcoholism is a disease. It's not a sin, they say. So, you know, it only makes sense that the world now would say, well, this person has a disease. We need to send him to the hospital. You know, he's drunk. He can't help it. You know, he just contracted this disease. And so the natural place to send him is the hospital. So now ambulance, the first responders have to deal with the drunkards now. So, okay, any questions on the matter? I know we've talked about this a lot in recent days. It's just really sad what's happened at the farm down the road. And my prayer is still that God would work in those people's hearts, because we learned at the meeting that the wife in that partnership was raised in a Baptist church. But it's just really sad the way it's going with alcohol. A lot of Christians are just, they're really feeling liberated, like, oh, you know, we can drink. And just a lot of contemporary churches are saying it's okay to social drink. You know, it used to be that Baptist churches, almost without fail, unless they were Southern Baptist churches, a lot of them said it was okay to socially drink and to smoke or chew tobacco. So the Southern Baptist Convention has had that problem a long time. And I think part of the reason is because a lot of Southern farmers grow tobacco. And so, you know, it'd be like being up north here and saying, people make alcohol out of corn. So you can't grow it. You know, if you're going to be a member of the church here, you can't grow corn. And so, I mean, that's kind of what they would have faced in the South. There are so many. Have you ever driven through the South and seen barns that are painted black? There's a lot of them. And a lot of them in the South are painted black. And, you know, black absorbs heat. I mean, can you imagine painting your barn black when you're in the South where it's already hot? I mean, that barn, can you imagine? You know, you put up hay in a barn in the summer, and you know how hot it can be. Well, imagine if the barn is painted black and just absorbing all the sun. Well, they do that to get heat in the barn because they're drying out tobacco. So that's why they would do that. So it was just a compromise in the South on the part of Southern Baptists to, you know, not say anything about tobacco. And so you'd get, you know, after church services, it would be common in a Southern Baptist church to see the deacon standing out on the porch or in front of the church smoking. I mean, it sounds ridiculous to us, but it was pretty common practice down there. But it just goes, the love of money is the root of all evil. So if we're afraid to speak of something, you know, because our people are making money off it, well, you know, it's like that here now. Pastor Jeremy, or one of the children, was saying that some of the ones they're ministering to now have gotten jobs working with hops, working with, you know, to make craft beer and liquor. So it's the same situation there. When I was in school, they would not let any of the students work at any store or any place that sold alcohol at all. And just happened to be there was one grocery store chain down there. It was called Red Food Stores. And I don't know if they're still in existence. And if they still have the same policy, but they sold no alcohol. So students were allowed to work at that grocery store. But there were, I believe there were Kroger stores and things down there that would have been off limits to work. But any thoughts or comments? When alcohol, it's just a shame what's happening. So what's going to happen is that, you know, we've got whatever generation it is that are starting to dabble in alcohol. And before you know it, you're going to have Christians, well, just like we heard in the meeting, a lady stands up in the township meeting and states that her daughter is a recovering alcoholic. Well, would that have ever happened if her mom had taken a stand against liquor, against alcohol? Probably not. So that's what's going to happen. You're going to have the next generation. They're going to become drunkards or alcoholics. And a generation or two down the road, you're going to have to reach those same families then with the gospel, because they're going to forsake the Lord. They're not going to train their children that way. And it's really sad. Okay, well, if there's no questions, let's move on then to the next answer here that sometimes we have to answer in the ministry, and that's gambling. Gambling. Definition of gambling from Merriam-Webster's dictionary is to bet on an uncertain outcome, to take a risk to gain an advantage. You may say, well, that sounds like the stock market. Well, it kind of is. To bet on an uncertain outcome, to take a risk to gain an advantage. Well, the question people say is, well, it never says in Scripture that gambling is a sin. It never even uses the word. It's kind of like people that say, I don't see any verses in the Bible that say thou shalt not use tobacco. So what are you going to tell someone that smokes? Why doesn't it mention gambling? Well, let's go to Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. Why is gambling not mentioned in Scripture? Well, there's a lot of specific sins that are not mentioned, but let's see what this says. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, have you committed any of those sins yet today? Let's see. Oops. What did I do? I lost my connection here. Well, in verse 21, it says envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So, the such, like, there are a lot of sins. This is a list of sins, but this is not an exhaustive list. It's not everything. And the same way, the Bible doesn't list every sin that's capable of being committed. Because if it did, I mean, would you want to list every sin that's capable of being committed? Because to a certain extent, wouldn't it put those things in people's minds? I mean, there was somebody who did a film years ago, I think on stealing some, I don't know if it was the crown jewels, but I believe it was some famous jewels in Great Britain. And if I remember correctly, after the film, sometime after that, someone tried to do it that exact same way. They tried to steal him. So, you know, it's kind of like hijacking airplanes. Years ago, they decided to make films on hijacking airplanes. And you know what? It got so bad, hijacking airplanes, that they had to produce really very severe penalties for doing so. And that's why, I don't know how long it's been, but years and years ago, they started searching people, doing checks, checking their luggage, their bags and their luggage. That's what it is now, your buggage. Combination of your bags and luggage. But it used to be you could get on an airplane with no search. And it's because of hijackings and things like that is why they started doing that. So it's the such like. Now it's the same thing. How do you know what car to buy? Or what truck to buy? Or what house to buy? How can we really use Scripture to discern God's will? Well, let's look at Psalm 119:96. Psalm 119:96. You know, there's a lot of people that would kind of scoff at it. You know, we would say, well, when making a decision, we need to consult the Word of God. And they would say, well, the Bible never says thou shalt buy a Ford or Chevy or Toyota or Honda. So, well, why would I ever read the Bible when trying to decide what car to buy? There's a lot of people in that category that would say, that's crazy. Well, Psalm 119:96, I have seen an end of perfection, but thy commandment is what? Exceeding broad. So the Bible can be applied to an exceeding broad amount of things, to everything. And so, no, the Bible is not going to say thou shalt buy a Chevy or a Toyota or Ford or Dodge or Nissan or whatever is out there. But the Bible can lead you through its principles. It's exceeding broad. And so while you're reading it, God can have something stand out to you in regard to that vehicle. It might be something in regard to how well it holds up or the financial end of it. Whatever the case, God does speak about common everyday things to our hearts when we search the Word of God. So we've defined gambling. We've looked at the question, why is gambling not mentioned as sin in Scripture? And then we'll have to wait till next time. But next time we'll look at the question, is everything legal necessarily right to do? So, if anything is declared that it's legal to do, is it right to do? Does that make it right to do? Well, very quickly comes to my mind, abortion. Abortion may be legal, but it's not right to do. So even if our state has made the lottery gambling legal, that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And sadly, our state, you know, when our state legalized gambling, we had a Catholic governor. And the Catholics see nothing wrong with their bingo and whatever, their form of gambling. And so our governor didn't see any problem with it. And he said then it would be used to support education. So our schools would have no more need for money, because it would all be supported through the lottery. Did that work? No. We just in Greenville had to, not too many years ago, had to, well, we didn't have to. I voted no, but it got approved anyway. A bond for the Greenville Public Schools of multiple millions of dollars. And they're kind of like some of our representatives in the House. They didn't even state exactly what it was for. They said, well, we need this bond for improvements, whatever they may be, for this amount of years. So the people of Greenville approved millions and millions of dollars, which means millions and millions of tax dollars on our property, they didn't even know. They were just approving, okay, you can use whatever million, $30 million or 60, whatever it was, in the next so many years. How are they going to use it? Nobody knows. They just approve it. It was like signing a blank check. So that was foolish. So the question, just because it's legal, does that mean it's right to do? So we'll look at that, Lord willing, next time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you.